So that's kind of where this is coming from. We should point that out.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a supplier based out of Mexico that they feel like was the issue. So it looks like they've even at least turned the spigot off.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not it's going to sicken more people before we see the other side of this.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Telly Hughes.
And a good Friday morning to you. For the second day in a row, we're waking up smothered in smoke.
Massive plumes of wildfire smoke choking the Midwest and Northeast for a third day. 115 million Americans are under air quality alerts across 19 states.
Yep, ABC's Sophie Flay there. So Milwaukee and Southeast Wisconsin enduring the worst air quality on record. It's never been this bad before, and it is still taking hold this morning. However, there is good news, Telly.
What's that?
It will disperse.
Good.
It sounds like substantial improvement to air quality is expected later today and into tonight. However, we can expect smoke to return later Saturday into Sunday. So we'll get a break, but it looks like the smoke may roll back in later on this
but
weekend.
We're also being told that it won't be as bad as it has been over the last couple days when it does return. Though,
yeah,
correct?
The hazardous levels, the maroon levels that we're in right now, will gradually move to moderate by this evening. It'll linger a little bit more along the lakefront north of Milwaukee. But otherwise, yeah, when it does return, perhaps not as bad. It's been so bad, it's been affecting pilots?
Yeah, it's adhering to the windshield. I've never seen it stick to the windshield like this.
That is a pilot talking to the Philly International Airport on ATC.com, explaining how bad it was there. We've also seen this be an issue for others as well. As far as all the events, Country Thunder is rolling on. They're still doing their thing. You are going to notice some issues elsewhere, though, so it is worth paying attention to and checking with your local festival or event. What did you say, Greg? You said we just had a band cancel someplace.
Yeah, it looks like Sebastian Bach was supposed to play the Washington County, or I'm sorry, the Waukesha County Fair, and
okay.
He is not.
All right, anymore. That's newsworthy. Sebastian
Correct.
Bach is out because of the weather there. So yeah, it depends on where you're at. You would think, though, given how bad it's been, if festival or organization has been going on through how bad it's been, you'd think they'll probably, this is the worst we've ever seen. And
yeah,
if they're still cranking through, you can expect they'll probably still try to go.
Yeah, but I also think, too, you have to take precautions because you don't want to have people exposed to this smoke
for
X amount of time. And then later on, it comes back and you're the reason why someone may get sick or inhale too much smoke.
Ultimately, it's on us to make that decision,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
So, but your point is well made that, like, it's pay attention to what you're doing. And if there are changes, it's definitely worth checking websites and calling ahead because organizations, each one of them, are going to try to figure out how to handle this situation. We got sports, and there's a lot of it coming up next with Telly.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
The Brewers begin the second half of the season with a 9-game homestand that starts with 3 against the Miami Marlins tonight. The series starters were announced, and Jacob Mizorowski will not take the bump against the Fish. The Miz was scratched from his last start before the break and did not pitch in this year's All-Star Game. Earlier this week, while in Philly for the All-Star Game festivities, Mizorowski spoke on the plan moving forward.
Yeah, I'm going to go back home and get some treatment from our trainers and work out, get ready for whatever game they decide I'm going to throw. Nothing too crazy.
Do you have a target date?
A target date? Like,
you like to pitch?
Game?
Yeah.
Come on. First game, second game, third game, fourth game, fifth game, somewhere in there. I don't know.
The Miz didn't seem too concerned, and the extra rest could certainly be beneficial down the stretch. First pitch between the Brewers and Marlins is set for 6:40. Coverage begins at 6:05. right here on WTMJ. Giannis Antetokounmpo is officially introduced as the newest member of the Miami Heat during a highly anticipated press conference.
Flanked by Heat President Pat Riley and head coach Eric Spoelstra, Giannis expressed excitement about joining the franchise.
It was a no-brainer. I wanted to be here. I'm excited to be here, and I want to get to work.
Giannis presented with the number 7 Heat jersey, moving away from the number 34 he wore for 13 seasons in Milwaukee.
Out of the respect to the organization that drafted me and I played for 13 years, I decided to leave that number there.
Greg Matzik, WTMJ News.
Bobby Portis was introduced as a member of the Miami Heat as well, and BP made sure to acknowledge his time in Milwaukee, where he became one of the most beloved Bucks in franchise history.
It was like very much so career-changing for me. So I do have to give them grace, the Bucks grace, for allowing me to come in there for 6 years. It's hard being at a place for 3-4 years, but let alone 6 years, half a decade.
The NBA is investigating a 4-year, $64 million deal between the Bucks and Gary Trent Jr., which was officially announced and submitted to the NBA on Thursday. Trent is set to receive a significant pay raise and multi-year contract, despite having had some of the lowest production of his career last season. Trent, who made $3.7 million last season, opted out of his player option to become a free agent this summer, is set to earn $15.2 million. This coming season. The NBA is looking into the contract as the league's collective bargaining agreement contains a clause against prior agreements.
You called this one a mile away. I remember even on Monday you questioning this.
Yes. Didn't seem right, and apparently the NBA thought the same as well. Second round action is underway at the Open. 26-year-old American Jackson Suber, who is playing in his first Open and third major of his career, entered the round with a 1-stroke lead. Currently, it's Lucas Herbert leading at 8-under through 12 holes, and Jackson Suber and Colin Morikawa are 3 strokes back at 5-under. This golf major update is sponsored by Morningstar Golfers Club. Lush green fairways and velvet smooth greens. Play your next round at Morningstar. Visit golfthestar.com today.
6:19. Yeah, hopefully by the game tonight, the smoke is dissipating. It is expected to. The quality of the air is supposed to improve later this afternoon and into tonight. Well, we have some good news regarding the outbreak of the cyclosporiasis that's made thousands of people sick.
I don't think I've ever experienced stomach cramps like that before. It was definitely a very unique feeling.
Okay, that's all we need to know about it. Don't need to hear any more.
I knew it wasn't just a normal stomach bug.
Okay, yeah. So this is the one that we've heard about. Obviously, it's just the symptoms have been severe and awful. And in some cases, people have had to go to the hospital. Well, now we're learning what may have caused this to make thousands of people sick. ABC News reporting that it's been traced back to tainted lettuce at Taco Bell locations.
A source telling ABC News the FDA has identified a single supplier of the lettuce from Mexico. Taco Bell now voluntarily removing the lettuce, saying the affected ingredient from our supplier is being indefinitely removed from our supply chain nationwide and will be replaced within 24 hours in select states.
So Taco Bell, yep, voluntarily removing that lettuce. So according to the report, they think this shredded iceberg lettuce was served at Taco Bell locations in 5 different states, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, and West Virginia. Of course, you had issues pop up elsewhere as well, but they feel that that is where at least some of this came from. And here's the thing, even though they have a pretty good idea of where it was and what the source was and which place was selling or washing this lettuce, it doesn't mean we're out of the woods quite yet on this.
Every day, it's an additional 500 to 600 cases per day. And so we're waiting to see if this is the end and whether we have, some light at the end of the tunnel.
That's Dr. Joel Kammeyer. He's an infectious disease specialist. The reason being, Telly, there's like a 2-week incubation period for some folks.
Yeah, that's tough because you just don't know until, you think you're fine. And
right,
2 weeks later, you have these severe stomach cramps.
The good news is, and by the way, like it's easy to smirk at the Taco Bell reference and all of this. It, I mean, obviously it's a it's a provider to Taco Bell. It's someone they contract with to get their lettuce
from. Right.
So that's kind of where this is coming from. We should point that out.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a supplier based out of Mexico that they feel like was the issue. So it looks like they've even at least turned the spigot off.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not it's going to sicken more people before we see the other side of this.
Yeah, because when you first hear this, you think, are there that many people eating Taco Bell? And no, because it seems like Taco Bell is taking the brunt of the blame.
Right.
But like you said, it's not like Taco Bell makes the lettuce. They have a supplier that supplies them with the lettuce.
It is pretty incredible just how intense it sounds like some of this has been for some folks. So whether it's the cramping, the bloating, the diarrhea, the nausea, like it's been symptoms that can last for weeks. I mean, usually when you have a symptom like that, that's like a day or two,
yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
Right? But in this case, some of these folks.
Yeah, and what do you do? Is there any medicine? Do you just have to ride it out and let it run its course? Or yeah.
Well, anyway, good sign. We should be at the end of it, hopefully, with the cyclosporiasis. Why the NBA is investigating the Milwaukee Bucks? That story at 6:45. Well, it's out. What is anticipated to be one of, if not the biggest movies of the summer, The Odyssey, is now showing, directed by Christopher Nolan. So I saw it. I had a space open there Thursday afternoon, so I went and saw it. And I hear you saw it too, right?
Yeah, I saw it last night. One of Nolan's best work. I thought it was fantastic all around.
Interesting. One of his best works, huh?
Right. Top three. I got The Odyssey, then Oppenheimer, then Interstellar.
I agree. It was a really, really good movie. I thought the cinematography was off the charts.
Yeah, and there was no bad actor in this movie. I thought everyone did their role in due diligence.
It's long. It's 3 hours.
Yeah.
Still. And there's some moments where you got to pay attention. It takes a little bit of work, but it's not like listening to paint dry or anything like that.
Right.
It's just telling the story.
It's classic storytelling. That's what I thought.
Speaking of that, the one thing I would point out is that The Odyssey, which is one of the oldest stories ever told and has been interpreted in all of that for eons. Everyone has a different thought. Those who pay attention, those who have studied it and all of that, you might not like his interpretation.
Like, I agree.
But that goes with any book that becomes a movie, right?
Yeah, this is a Christopher Nolan film. So if you're going into it, make sure you know that.
And if you've ever seen a Nolan movie, you know exactly what he likes to do, and he does all of those things. And it's great. It's great. So I'm glad you liked it, too.
Great movie.
By the way, we'll get a review from A Man About Film, Matt Miller. He'll join us at 8:10 this morning. So the good news, though, is you'll like it if you go see it. I think so. 6:38. Eric and Telly. Vince is back on Monday. Classified documents that the White House claims show the vulnerability of U.S. election security are now public. As President Trump calls for Congress to pass the SAVE Act, requiring proof of citizenship, among other things.
Addressing this crisis of election security demands that Congress must pass the SAVE America Act.
So those documents are posted on the White House website. ABC's political deputy director Ben Siegel joins us. Ben, good morning. What are we learning from these documents that the White House is declassifying?
Well, that's the new part of the president's speech last night. It were these underlying documents that were shared with the public for the first time. Internal government intelligence assessments, FBI, redacted investigative records, emails. Those have not been seen before by the public. But the overall allegations raised by the president about China accessing voter rolls, about Venezuela working to tamper with voting machines used in at least one place in the United States, and concerns about a alleged voter fraud efforts in Michigan. Those are all things that were previously known, theories and concerns about election, about the 2020 election. Those are all things that the president has previously talked about, and now he just did this in a bigger way. Within the context of the upcoming election and voter ID laws.
Ben, were you a little surprised that President Trump didn't address some of the more pressing issues that we are dealing with, the war, inflation, some of those other things that Americans are more concerned about now as opposed to the 2020 election?
Well, I will say he started the speech talking about that stuff a little bit, which I was surprised about, given that the White House did say this speech was going to be focused on election what they call election integrity in the 2020 election. So it was surprising to hear some of that, and it sort of acknowledges the political reality here that those things are on the front of mind of people, you know, even if the president wants to look backwards. But in the sense of, you know, the president wanting to focus on that stuff, it's pretty clear that he has always been focused on it. It continues to bother him that he lost the 2020 election. And you know, he has brought people into the administration to help him, you know, sift through these records and release them. So not surprising in that sense that he spent time talking publicly about something that he remains focused on in private.
Clearly, the Save America Act is something the president wants to push through. Is there any way the Republicans who are against that bill budge on this?
It's hard to see that in the Senate. This is passed, you know, three or four times in the House along party lines. The new attempt to get this done through the Senate, through the budget process, would require 50 votes if it gets approved by Senate officials to go that way. But, you know, we've sensed a lot of trepidation and resistance from Senate Republicans on this. There are voting rights groups that say this would create new hurdles to vote for women who use their maiden name, for example, for people who don't have ready access to birth certificates that prove where they were born, and citizenship records. So this could create new hurdles in the eyes of some, and it's just hard to see this going through the Senate at this time.
Ben Siegel, the ABC News Deputy Political Director on Wisconsin's Morning News. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Sports in a minute.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
The Brewers begin the second half of the season with a 9-game homestand that starts with 3 against the Miami Marlins tonight. The series starters were announced, and Jacob Mizrowski will not take the bump against the Fish. The Miz was scratched from his last start before the break and did not pitch in this year's All-Star game. Earlier this week, while in Philly for the All-Star game festivities, Mizrowski spoke on the plan moving forward.
Yeah, I'm going to go back home and get some treatment from our trainers and work out, you know, get ready for whatever game they decide I'm going to throw. You know, nothing too crazy.
Do you have a target date?
A target date? Like,
you like to pitch?
Game.
Yeah.
Come on. First game, second game, third game, fourth game, fifth game, somewhere in there. I don't know.
The Miz doesn't seem too concerned. The extra rest could certainly be beneficial down the stretch. First pitch between the Brewers and Marlins is set for 6:40. Coverage begins at 6:05 right here on WTMJ. Giannis Antetokounmpo is officially introduced as the newest member of the Miami Heat during a highly anticipated press conference.
Flanked by Heat President Pat Riley and head coach Eric Spoelstra, Giannis expressed excitement about joining the franchise.
It was a no-brainer. I wanted to be here. I'm excited to be here, and I wanted to get to work.
Giannis presented with the number 7 Heat jersey, moving away from the number 34 he wore for 13 seasons in Milwaukee.
Out of the, you know, respect to, you know, the organization that drafted me and I played for 13 years, I decided to leave that number there.
Greg Matzik, WTMJ News.
Bobby Portis was introduced as well, and BP made sure to acknowledge his time in Milwaukee, where he became one of the most beloved Bucks in franchise history.
It was like very much so career changing for me. So I do have to give them grace, the Bucks grace, for allowing me to come in there for 6 years. It's hard being at a place for 3-4 years, but let alone 6 years, half a decade.
The NBA is investigating a 4-year, $64 million deal between the Bucks and Gary Trent Jr., which was officially announced and submitted to the NBA on Thursday. Trent is set to receive a significant pay raise and multi-year contract, despite having had some of the lowest production of his career last season. Trent, who made $3.7 million last season, opted out of his player option to become a free agent this summer, is set to earn $15.2 million this coming season. The NBA is looking into the contract as the league's collective bargaining agreement contains a clause against prior agreements. Second round action is underway at the Open. 26-year-old American Jackson Suber, who is playing in his first Open and third major of his career, entered the round with a one-stroke lead. Currently is Lucas Herbert atop the leaderboard at 8-under through 13. Suber is in second. He finished his round with a 69. He is 2 strokes back off the lead at 6-under. This golf major update is sponsored by Morningstar Golfers Club. Lush green fairways and velvet smooth greens. Play your next round at Morningstar. Visit golfthestar.com today.
Outdoor Living Unlimited, WDTMJ News Time, 6:49. Gabe Neitzel joins us from ESPN Milwaukee's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 94.5. All right, Gabe, good morning.
Good morning.
I know there's golf going on right now.
Yes, there is. You for yes. A minute. Open Championship. Rory just drove the green at night, guys.
There you go.
Missed the putt, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Want to ask you about the Miz, but first, can we do Bucks? Couple of questions real quick on the Bucks. First off, anything that you enjoyed or were bothered by with the Giannis introduction yesterday with the Heat?
I kind of liked his explanation of why he wanted to go to the number 7 for Miami. He wanted to leave 34 behind and that legacy, that number.
Yeah,
yeah, I thought it was kind of respectful. Hey, that means a lot, and it kind of closes the chapter for him in Milwaukee, so it made a lot of sense, and 34 will always be ours in Milwaukee, so I kind of like that. The other thing, my takeaway from that press conference is, man, what are Heat fans doing? They can't do the Bobby Portis chant. Like, they were, instead of chanting Bobby, Bobby, they're doing Bobby Portis. So Bobby actually corrected them. Like, took time out of the press conference. Like, guys, this is how we do this. Like, come on. Like, how do we mess this one up?
All right, Gabe, Gary Trent Jr., I said something was pretty fishy about this.
Telly smelled this a mile away.
Yeah. 4 years, $64 million contract after the lowest production of his career last season. What do you make of this investigation the NBA is going to conduct now?
I'm a little concerned. Now, the last time somebody got burned by this was the Minnesota Timberwolves in 2000. Joe Smith, kind of a similar thing where he took 3 straight years to get bird rights, which is a complicated way of being able to pay somebody over the salary cap.
Yep.
With the complicated rules in the NBA. The T-Wolves got dinged 5 first-round picks.
Wow.
They eventually returned 2 of them, so it ended up being only 3, but it's still, it's pretty serious. If the NBA comes up with an investigation and says, yeah, you guys circumvented the salary cap, that could do some damage to the Bucks as they try to rebuild this thing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty serious.
Yeah, I wonder what they would take, because the Bucks don't have first round picks to to offer. So
well, maybe that was the strategy here.
Yeah, it's like, all right, what are you going to do now? But that contract could be voided.
It could be.
You know.
It could be.
So, yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, for a guy who was benched on a team that missed the playoffs last year, giving him 4 years, $64 million doesn't make a ton of sense. Unless they were going, hey, Gary, sign here, because they thought he was going to be better than he ended up being, and they wanted a shooter like that around Giannis.
Yep.
So finally, the Brewers get back to work tonight. The Marlins are in town, which are a scrappy team, so that'll be a fun series.
Hot team.
So
going into the break, for sure.
They have the first 3 pitching matchups set up and all of that, and Mizrowski's not one of them. Does that concern you or no?
No, I was anticipating that once they scratched him from the start. Last Sunday. He threw 141 innings last year, and when you have a young pitcher like this, they're going to continue to set career highs in that. That's part of the progression. But you don't want to go too far past that. Kind of 40, 50 innings is what you're looking for over that. So if he gets to 191 innings, I think that's really good. That's a nice step in terms of, but he's, you know, already got a bunch of innings this year.
Right.
He's going to sprint past that. So I think this is the Brewers just being smart of, and they've kind of been smart about this before, where they were going 6-man rotation earlier this year to kind of give him an extra day, and that kind of saves a start here and there. So I think this is just the Brewers managing whatever. They haven't said what his innings limit is. I'm just throwing that, you know, 40 to 50 number out there based on how most teams have done it in the past. So that's kind of the number I think they're kind of keeping an eye on. Hey, how do we keep this under control to make sure that he is still ready to go over the postseason, ready to go down the stretch, and we're not putting him at long-term health risks going forward? So I think they're trying to balance the future of Miz right. and the present of the team.
Right. Yeah, and as Brewers fans, we want to see Miz pitch every 3 days. So, you know, of course, it seems like, oh, my gosh, something must be up.
You know, but, CeCe did it.
Yeah, right?
CeCe was a different animal, man.
But, Gabe, real quick, I want you to put on your prognosticator hat. And mm-hmm. do you think that the Brewers will go out and seek another starter before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think they're going to add. They're just going to continue. I don't know if it's going to be anybody big. Right now, it doesn't look like the big name everybody was hoping for, myself included. Tarek Skubal's even going to be available.
Yeah. Right.
Because the Tigers look like they're going to go for it because they've started to play better baseball. But the Brewers always add. They always are looking for little deals like the one they just made for Lance McCullers, and I think they're going to continue to add. They need more pitching. They need more guys they can rely upon, not just in the rotation, but in the bullpen. Jared Koenig's injury and him coming back and not pitching well, I think that's a huge part
of
the bullpen that we haven't really talked about because we've been focused so much on the starting pitching and Woody and all that stuff.
Right.
Nine-game home series or homestand starts tonight against the Marlins. ESPN Milwaukee's Gabe Knight. So thank you, Gabe.